goes far beyond the library or lecture room. I have lived more intimately than most people with these ancient rulers. For 40 years now, they have been a large part of my job. I have scrutinised their words, from their legal judgments to their jokes. I have analysed the basis of their power, unpicked their rules of succession, or lack of them, and often enough deplored their domination. I have peered at their heads on cameos and coins, and I have taught students to enjoy and to interrogate closely what Roman writers chose to say about them. The lurid stories of the Emperor Tiberius's antics in his swimming pool on the island of Capri, the rumours of Nero's lust for his mother, or of what Domitian did to flies, torture them with his pen nib, have always gone down well in the modern imagination, and they certainly tell us a good deal about ancient Roman fears and fantasies. But as I have repeatedly insisted to those who would love to take them at face value, they are not necessarily true in the usual sense of the word. I have been by profession a classicist, historian, teacher, sceptic, and occasional killjoy. In this book, I am shifting my focus onto the modern images of emperors that surround us, and I'm asking some of the most basic questions about how and why they were produced. Why have artists since the Renaissance chosen to depict these ancient characters in such large numbers and in such a variety of ways? Why have customers chosen to buy them, whether in the form of lavish sculptures or cheap plaques and prints? What do the faces of long-dead autocrats, many more with a reputation for villainy than for heroism, mean to modern audiences? The ancient emperors themselves are very important characters in the chapters that follow, especially the first 12 Caesars, as they are now often known. From Julius Caesar, assassinated in 44 BCE, to the fly-torturing Domitian, assassinated in 96 CE, via Tiberius, Caligula, and Nero, among others. Almost all the modern works of art that I discuss were produced in dialogue with the Romans' own representations of their rulers. And with all those ancient stories, far-fetched though they might be, of their deeds and misdeeds. But in this book, the emperors themselves share the spotlight with a wide range of modern artists. Some, like Mantegna, Titian, or Alma Tadema, are well known in the Western tradition. Others are drawn from generations of now anonymous weavers, cabinet makers, silversmiths, printers, and ceramicists who created some of the most striking and influential images of these Caesars. They share the spotlight too with a selection of the Renaissance humanists, antiquarians, scholars, and modern archaeologists who have turned their energies to identifying or reconstructing, wrongly or rightly, these ancient faces of power. And with the even wider range of people, from cleaners to courtiers, who have been impressed, enraged, bored or puzzled by what they saw. In other words, I'm not only interested in the emperors themselves, or in the artists who have recreated them, but in the rest of us who look. There are, I hope, some surprises in store, and some unexpectedly extreme art history. We should be meeting emperors in very unlikely places, from chocolates to 16th century wallpaper and gaudy 18th century waxwork. We should be puzzling over statues whose date is even now so disputed that no one can agree whether they are ancient Roman, modern pastiches, fakes or replicas, or creative Renaissance tributes to the imperial tradition. We should be reflecting on why so many of these images have been imaginatively re-identified or persistently confused over hundreds of years. One emperor taken for another, mothers and daughters mixed up, female characters in